So biggest box office flops is what we're talking about. Because we've had a couple already. Wrinkle in Time was a big bomb. Solo is a massive bomb, considering how much they spent on it. So we're starting to look at the issues of bombs coming out for the summer season. But we also have like the biggest box office flops from 1978 on, and I'm curious to see how many of these are actually good. Because just because a movie doesn't make money at the box office or it loses a ton of money, they spent so much money or the budget got out of control, doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad movie. Because, you know, box office flops don't necessarily mean the movie is bad, just like box office hits don't necessarily mean the movie is good. You just look at the Transformer movies. That's there you go right there. Those movies make a ton of money and they all suck. So in 1978, the biggest box office flop was Sextet. You guys want to know what Sextet? I saw Sextet, and it was terrible.
Is it about six people? So it's no seven.
You know what? I don't even remember. It's the last movie of it's the movie version of Mae West's last play, and filmmakers had a hard time finding a distributor from the get go. Eventually, they decided to release it themselves and show it at the Cinema Dome in Hollywood. According to the Complete Films of Mae West, the film grossed around $50,000 against its $8 million budget. Sextet has many urban legends surrounding it regarding the deteriorating health of the 85-year-old Mae West at that time, namely that she was senile and had to be fed her lines through an earpiece. So I don't really remember what the movie was about. I remember seeing it on TV late, and it was terrible. So there's your first box. So 1979, this is a classic. You know, Esmeralda, do you guys, and Dan, you guys were, you know, weren't around for like the heyday of the 70s disaster movies, because there was a period of time in the 70s where there was a disaster movie like every other week. And it all started with Airport. So there was a sequels all the time, and they always added like the year. So there was Airport, and there was Airport 75, and then Airport 77, and then the one from 1979 was called the Concorde Airport 79.
Was it the same airport?
Well, no. Each movie was just a disaster, an airplane disaster movie, and it just so happens that the original film was based on a book called Airport, and it became a big hit. So that they just figured, let's just use the same name, and we'll have a different disaster. You know, it's not the same airport. It's just
okay. Good.
Yes, yeah, because that would be a really bad airport.
Like, wow,
that would be a terrible airport. Yeah. So it would be a different. You know, they would have like different characters and different things. Although some characters would be the same. Like George Kennedy was in like four of them. You know. But Concorde Airport 79. I vividly remember seeing that one in the theater, and it was awful. And everybody was talking about the special effects, because it was a. You know, they had to do all kinds of like crazy visual effects to show the Concorde, you know, at the crazy speed that it was at, and you know, the sleek look of the Concorde. That all had to be recreated for the movie. It was an awful movie. Concorde was the final film in the Airport franchise. The first Airport movie made over $100 million at the box office. And again, you know, that doesn't sound like much now, but that movie came out in the early 70s. So $100 million box office in the early 70s is massive. But it was all downhill from there. 9 years later, the fourth sequel made just $13 million, less than half of what the third installment made. Yeah, people got tired. I mean, the whole disaster movie thing of the 70s became real tiresome. By the time they made a movie called Avalanche with Rock Hudson and Mia Farrow, which is one of the worst movies ever. There was also Tidal Wave. I mean, they had every kind of natural disaster happened. Towering Inferno. That wasn't a natural disaster. That's a fire in Towering Inferno. Have you guys seen the trailer for the new Dwayne Johnson movie, Skyscraper?
I have not.
No.
All right. It's about the world's tallest building ever, like ridiculously tall building. Dwayne the Rock Johnson is a safety guy. He knows, you know, safety of buildings and stuff, and he's a former cop. I saw the trailer for it, and it's unbelievable. It is Exactly. It's a ripoff, a complete ripoff of both Die Hard and The Towering Inferno.
Oh, I saw that. It's in like Asia, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The big tower.
The big crazy tower.
And his kids are in it.
Yeah, Neve Campbell plays his wife and his two kids.
Yeah, they're like stuck somewhere.
Yeah, they're stuck like on the 96th floor or something, and they're like the 112th floor. The fire starts on the 96th floor, so they have to climb their way up and then try to get out. And it just...
See, this is exactly why, and mind you, I'm on the 18th floor right now.
Right.
But this is why, like... Big skyscrapers creep me out.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I agree with you. I totally agree.
I'm like, it's going to be a long way to run down those stairs.
Yeah. I'm with you. I totally agree with you, you know. And I had two buddies who lived in the Marina Tower, one on the 29th floor, one on the 36th floor. First of all, I freak out at heights. I couldn't go out on the balcony. And I remember my buddy Mike, he lived there for a few years at Marina Tower. He was on the 29th floor, and he would have people over. Like he had us over for an Oscar party, because it was cold out, he put the beer out on the balcony. So anytime I wanted a beer, I had to go out, I had to go out on the balcony and close my eyes and reach into the cooler to get a beer.
That's why I live. I think the tallest I've had is the third floor.
Third floor is the highest I've ever lived too. Yeah, yeah, and I didn't like that because you know I'd be winded by the time I got to my apartment.
Oh goodness.
Oh, I'd be like, I can't do another set of stairs. But anyway, but yeah, so that's coming out. Skyscraper comes out in July, and it's the it's terrorists come in, take over the building. They want the treasure that's inside the building. That sounds a little familiar, Dan. Doesn't that sound familiar?
Quite a bit.
Yeah, and then there's a fire that breaks out and threatens to burn the entire building down, and people are trapped. So that sounds familiar as well. So it's a combination of the two. But yeah, and here's another odd fact. Dwayne Johnson's name in the movie is John McClane. I don't know if you knew that. That's not true. That last part's not true. Okay, box office bombs is what we're talking about here. And we'll get up to 1980. 1980, by the way, when we talk about the box office bomb of 1980, the biggest box office bomb of 1980, is one of the most notorious, if not the most notorious box office bomb ever. Ever. And by the way, it's a great movie. that's the thing. But it is truly perhaps the most notorious box office bomb of all time from 1980, and we'll tell you all about it right after we break. If you want to jump in with movies that you were really disappointed in or movies that you thought were flops, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. All right, we got weather and we got traffic. Here's your forecast. 815 area code for Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. One artist, three songs. Get your requests in now. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. 815 picks Culture Club. That's Church of the Poison Mine. Yeah, man. Happy birthday to Boy George, who is 74 today. All right, we are talking about box office flops. If you would like to jump in here, what were some that you've seen or movies that you thought were terrible that you were really looking forward to, where there was a big hype machine and you hated it, and movies that made no money? We want to hear from you. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Okay, we're moving along here. 1980, the biggest flop of 1980 is considered one of the most notorious flops of all time, and of course, that's Heaven's Gate. Michael Cimino's follow-up to The Deer Hunter. He had just won Best Director. Deer Hunter had won Best Film, Best Picture at the Oscars. And then he did this extraordinarily complex Western called Heaven's Gate. According to BBC, on the sixth day of filming Heaven's Gate, production was already 5 days behind schedule. Heaven's Gate is one of the most famous flops of all time, and it lost the studio United Artists. So much money it lost so much money that United Artists had to be sold. So it killed a studio. It's a movie that actually put a movie studio out of business. However, the film was re-edited and shown in a New York Film Festival forum in 2013. It received rave reviews. Critics praised its beauty and commitment to authenticity, and that's exactly what caused the film's budget to balloon. According to Time, inflation adjusted, it lost $114 million. I thought the movie was great, but it's the director's cut that's great. Because Cimino made his director's cut's almost 4 hours long. His director's cut's close to 4 hours, but the cut that got released after all of the controversy and UA, you know, going out of business was like 2 hours and 25 minutes. So, I mean, that wasn't a very good, but I think Heaven's Gate is beautiful. Number 1981 was a movie called Honky Tonk Freeway that it was actually not a terrible movie, but nobody saw it. I can't believe they spent, like, that was the biggest flop. Honky Tonk Freeway, because they had elephants brought in, or the film required painting much of a real city bright pink, and it had hundreds and hundreds of extras. It's it ended up being the most expensive comedy film of all time at that date. Here's a legendary one, Inchon from 1982. Laurence Olivier was in that movie. It was the most expensive B picture ever made, they said. It took 4 years and $50 million to make. Number 1983, the movie Krull. Dan, you should just look, K-U-R-L-L. You should just do like an image search for the movie Krull and look at some of the ridiculous stuff that you'll see. It's a sci-fi fantasy movie. About a prince and a group of outlaws setting out to rescue his bride from alien invaders. And at that time, you know, stuff like Excalibur, Star Wars, there was a very, you know, the sword and sorcery special effects science fiction movies were really big. And it was just, it's ridiculous. Have you seen any, can you see any of the?
Yeah, wow.
Esmeralda, are you looking at Krull? K-R-U-L-L. Look at some of the fantastic characters and images from that movie.
Is that a mountain alien man on the cover?
Yeah, I think so. And then there's like a cyclops in it, and they have like a weapon that they throw.
It looks like a star.
Yeah, exactly.
With lasers.
Yeah, it's so bad. It was really seriously. I mean, it's so bad. The audience I saw, we were laughing through the entire movie.
Is his bride being hidden in a guy's eyeball?
I don't remember.
Oh, that would make sense because it's a mountain man. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mountain dude. All right. So that's the biggest flop of 1983. The biggest flop in 1984 was The Cotton Club, which, by the way, is another terrific movie. It's a Francis Ford Coppola movie. It took 5 years to make and had highly publicized problems. The budgets went nuts. There was a feud between the film's producer, Robert Evans, and the director, Francis Ford Coppola. The New York Times headline called it neither a smash nor a disaster. That the estimated budget was $58 million, and it made half that at the box office. In 1985, this is one of the worst movies ever. Revolution. Do you guys even know what Revolution is?
No.
Nope.
It's a Revolutionary War movie with Al Pacino. And he's like, it's the movie that put Al Pacino, that he didn't make another movie for 5 years. Like after Revolution, he just disappeared. Didn't do anything. And it was abysmal. And he was like doing like the Al Pacino, like it's a Revolutionary War movie, you know, and he's doing like my mouth belongs wherever I put it. Like that's like the way he was talking in this period piece. He's walking around going, no, no, take that bayonet and leave. Like it was a terrible movie. I remember when it came out, it was notorious, man. And it for a time, that was it for Al Pacino. People were, because he had made like three movies in a row that were terrible. And that was like the crowning achievement of bad movies that Al Pacino made. Then he had a comeback with, he had a big comeback with a movie called, Sea of Love, which was a terrific movie. 1986, Howard the Duck, which got requested at my film club the other night. Did I mention this? Oh, Dan, you weren't here after the film club. You were here yesterday. Dan, Esmeralda, did I mention that somebody in the audience requested that I show Howard the Duck?
No, he didn't.
Because we were talking about Leia Thompson, because Leia Thompson is in Back to the Future. She's also in Howard the Duck. And this guy goes, why don't you screen Howard the Duck? And I'm like, no, because it's terrible.
So did you hear that she's trying to bring it back?
Yeah. Well, you know why? Because Howard the Duck was in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. He was in the postscript in the first one, and then the second one, he's in like a scene, and he's very fun. The character is very fun. Now, people love that comic. Dan, do you like the comic Howard the Duck?
I don't. I saw the movie first, and it freaked me out. I'm way too young to see that movie.
I just think it's weird that the duck is like, you know, Leia Thompson is like sort of romantically attracted to the duck. But yeah, no, I mean, she's trying to get it made, and you know, because now people, there's a renaissance for Howard the Duck. I think after Guardians, people went back and rented this terrible movie from the 80s and went, oh man, I'd like this, because it's the way he's, have you seen the Guardians movies, Dan?
Yes.
Okay, so the way he's portrayed in the Guardians movies is cool. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's funny.
Right.
The way they did it in the movie was in the 85 movie was terrible. So, yeah, Esmeralda, we'll keep track on that. Leah Thompson wants to keep Howard the Duck going again.
I love that movie.
Did you? Oh,
that
yeah, we've
great
talked about
movie. Come on.
We talked about this before.
It's fun and streetwise.
And attracted to a human woman.
I mean, well, he's like a person, except he's a duck.
That's like two movies in a row where Leah Thompson is she's attracted to a duck, sexually attracted to a duck in one movie, and in the movie before it, she was sexually attracted to her son. So, it's a weird time for relationships in the world of Leah Thompson right there. And then, after that, she was attracted to Eric Stoltz, which is the weirdest thing of all time. Oh, no, she wasn't. She was Eric Stoltz was attracted to her, and he was trying to win her over. Hey, I just realized Eric Stoltz got fired from Back to the Future, and then they worked together on some kind of Wonderful. Yeah. It's a fascinating world. All right. Let's take a break. The news is coming up next. Triple Play Thursday continues. Triple Play Thursday. 312-981-7200. 815 area code. Pitching Culture Club. Do you really want to hurt me? Hey, you know, it's Boy George's birthday. You know what else I realized, Dan?
What's that?
It's Donald Trump's birthday, too. So they should probably hang out. I'm sure they'd love to hang out together.
It's also Flag Day.
Flag Day. Yes.
Yeah. It's my friend's birthday today as well, so I know it as Flag Day.
You know what? You know who else's birthday is today? I found this out when he came out to Back to the Future screening. We were talking that he shares a he was talking about, you know, we were talking about like birthdays, and he said that, you know, I know you share your birthday with George W. Bush. And I'm like, yeah, yes, I do. And he said, well, I got you beat because I share my birthday with Donald Trump. So it's Wild Bill's birthday today, Wild Bill.
Hey, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Wild Bill. All right. We got a bunch of texts coming in. We are talking about flops, big box office flops. We got summer blockbusters that we're going to get to that completely tanked and the biggest box office bombs of each year. And we're going through the list. We're up to 1987, which was Ishtar. And I love that movie. I don't care what anybody says. Ishtar was released on Blu-ray in 2013, prompting many critics to revisit the notorious flop, and many were shocked to find out it's actually not bad. No, it's not bad. It's good. It's really good. However, the production of the film, which was about two songwriters in Morocco trying to find themselves in the middle of a CIA power play, was plagued with common problems of every box office flop: delays, overspending, issues between the co-stars. It only made $14 million on a $51 million budget, and it was an absolute bomb. But I thought it was good. I still think it's good. I like Ishtar a lot. Dave in Monroe says The Lone Ranger. We'll get to that one. The Lone Ranger. You're talking about The Lone Ranger with Johnny Depp and Armie Hammer. Yeah. 219 area code. Waterworld is the only movie. Wait a minute. What's wrong with this person? 219 area code. Waterworld is the only movie I ever walked out on. Was famously terrible and I think very expensive. Yes, it was very expensive. It's not famously terrible. In fact, it's famously awesome, and it caused my first divorce. Because it only took three times for my wife to come home and see that I'm sitting on the couch watching Waterworld. She's like, what the hell is wrong with you? And it's awesome. I love that movie. Mary asks, maybe I'm dreaming this, but was Fred Astaire in The Towering Inferno? Yes, he was. Fred Astaire was indeed in The Towering Inferno. Those disaster movies are if you go back and look at you guys should go back and look at the poster art, the one sheet poster art for those disaster movies of the 70s, because they're fantastic. You know, like Towering Inferno, you get this picture of the skyscraper, it's on fire, and then all the big stars are in little boxes. Their faces are in little boxes along the bottom. Like, look who's in it. Look at all the stars. And all their faces are pictured at the bottom in boxes that are all the way across the post. And every one of the disaster movies of the 70s had the same kind of post. Poseidon Adventure, the airport movies, the big budget disaster movies of the 70s all had the big special stars featured in boxes around the bottom. And Fred Astaire's head is in one of those boxes on the Towering Inferno poster. Those are some of my favorite posters. I love disaster movie posters and art from the 70s because it's just classic. Because they're trying to sell the movie. There's like 8 million different kind of stars in the movie. They go from like Myrna Loy was in one. You know, they go from they vary from like Jack Lemmon to Linda Blair to musicians and, you know, Fred Astaire. O.J. Simpson is in the Towering Inferno. And they're all featured, man. It's all the, look at these stars. We have so many stars that we have to put their faces in boxes all across the bottom of the poster. Dan, look up the poster for Towering Inferno.
Half of them are very concerned.
Oh, well, there's
they all look real concerned.
Which one are you looking at?
Oh my gosh. Steve McQueen and that other guy.
That would be Towering Inferno.
Paul Newman.
Yeah, Paul Newman. That's the Towering Inferno.
They both look very concerned, and then everyone else on the bottom also looks quite concerned.
Well, who else do they have? Who else do they have listed?
I can't see them.
Oh, it's too small.
It's a little blurry.
Okay.
But they all have these concerned looks.
Well, it's a disaster, Esmeralda.
Right.
There's a disaster happening all around them.
I like that they took screenshots and used those rather than just...
Like headshots?
Right.
Yeah, it's them in action, though, man. They have to deal with a towering... There's a towering inferno happening. It's an inferno in a tower. It's towering.
So, the people listed at the bottom is, like, the characters they play?
Oh, the characters they play. Oh, like the firefighter.
The builder, the girlfriend, the con man, the wife, the son-in-law, the widow, the security man, the senator, the public... Man, I guess publicity man, I guess.
The public man.
The public man.
I'm telling you, those are the best, man. You guys at home, a Google image search of disaster movies from the 70s, posters from disaster movies of the 70s. They're all the same. They're all fantastic. The public man.
The public man, along with the fire chief and the architect.
Right. The fire chief is Paul Newman, the architect. No, the fire chief is Steve McQueen, the architect is Paul Newman?
Correct.
Okay. Ay, ay, ay.
The tallest building in the world is on fire. There are 294 other guests. There's no way down and there's no way up. Paul Newman, that is poor architecture if there's no way out.
Well, if I remember correctly, he gets blamed. Like they're going to pin...
And he kind of should be.
And he gets... But he, I think, blames the... Because if I remember correctly, the tower had just opened. Like, it was like the grand... That's why there were so many people there. If I remember correctly, Paul Newman was like, we can't open this tower yet. There are problems in it. It might be an inferno if we open. You know, he was dead set against opening it. But the politician, or the millionaire, or whoever the hell it was like, we can't delay the opening night of the towering. So
now... What was it, like, just a spark from something?
It was, I don't remember how it started. And that's another thing, because I think it was like one dude started the fire. And I can't remember how it started.
Wait, it wasn't even the fault of the...
I don't even...
The tower?
I don't think it was an electrical issue. I think some dude just started a fire.
Well, then we can't blame the architect. He had nothing to do with it.
Then he warned everybody. I think something happened. Maybe there was an electrical problem because Paul Newman was like, we can't open this towering inferno yet.
According to the storyline on IMDb, Doug Roberts, the architect, returns from a long vacation to find work nearly completed on a skyscraper. He goes to a party that night. Concerned, he's found that the wiring specifications had not been followed.
The
building continues to develop short circuits.
That's what it was, Paula. I was going to say Paul Newman.
Wow.
No, I'd say Paul Newman. So Paul Newman knew it. He came back. Paul Newman was like, hey, there's a problem with the wiring. And I think he hired a bunch of, like, the billionaire guy. Here's the thing. I think, like, Paul Newman was the architect, but the jerk, bad guy, billionaire guy hired a bunch of goofballs to do the wiring. Like, he went cheap. Instead of hiring the best people to do the wiring in the building,
he
hired some idiots. I'm going to watch the Towering Inferno when I get home.
Our good friend Mike from Novak Construction lets us know the Towering Inferno, the son-in-law, cut the costs
on the
electricity, and that sparked the fire.
Oh, man. They're all of those disaster movies are just the same, man. You know, there's a bad guy who does something stupid, causes the disaster. Ugh! All right. Dwayne from Elwood said Howard the Duck is the worst, and Standing Tall with the guy who wants breakfast but can only get lunch because he was 2 minutes late. And then he just goes off because he doesn't like it and he can't take it anymore because he's getting a divorce. No, well, that wasn't called Standing Tall.
I was going to say The Rock?
No.
This wasn't The Rock in the remake?
No, Walking Tall. Was Walking Tall. Yeah. Standing Tall is a movie that doesn't exist, Dwayne. The movie you're talking about is called Falling Down. Not Standing Tall. It's quite the opposite.
Was it McDonald's?
It was a generic fast food place.
Oh, okay.
And it was Michael Douglas. I love that movie, Falling Down. Robert Duvall, Tuesday Weld is in it, and he plays a guy named Defense walking around. He gets fired from his job. He's getting divorced, and he just gets sick of all the craziness and stuff that you have to deal with. And he just leaves his car. He's in the middle of a traffic jam at the beginning of the movie, Michael Douglas. He just gets out of his car, leaves his car there, and then just goes off.
Does he have a bat at one point?
He's got a bat. He's got a gun at one point. He gets a shotgun at one point.
A very sharp haircut.
Yes, he's got a buzz cut, exactly, and he's got black rimmed glasses, and he's wearing a tie with a pencil protector.
Yeah, he looks like a nerd.
Yeah, total nerd. I like that movie. Dwayne hated it and didn't even remember what it was called. It's not Standing Tall, it's Falling Down, and it's a good movie, actually.
219 area code before we break. The fire in the Towering Inferno started because of the friction caused by 500 people leaving the movie theater when they were watching Waterworld in a hurry.
Man, going off on Waterworld, man. People don't understand the brilliance of Waterworld, I'm telling you.
You and my dad.
They'd say, oh, your dad likes
it.
That's
right. Yeah, my dad likes it.
I'm going to hang out with your dad and we'll watch Waterworld together.
Well, remember, you and V are part of the My Dad fan club. Because every time I would talk about my dad, he'd be like, ah, he's cool.
Yeah, like, he's cool. Right. He's cool as hell.
Next film club screening is just the three of them.
Just watching Waterworld.
Watching Waterworld.
Yeah. Does V like Waterworld?
I don't know.
You should ask V if he likes Waterworld.
We'll see.
Because if he does, then we're going to set up a screening with your dad, V, and me.
Yeah. I mean, he would just go to sit in awe of my dad. So.
Yeah, that's cool. But no, Waterworld rules. Your dad has good taste. Your dad's awesome. That movie rules, and it got me divorced. Seriously, I remember when Wendy came home, like the third time I was watching it, she came home, she was just standing there. She looks at me, and I'm just sitting on the couch watching Waterworld. She's like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, this movie rules. She went in the other room, called her lawyer. All right, here, we got to take a break for weather and traffic. Why do the listeners hate me? Why? We have to hear three Eagles songs? Seriously?
Hey, take it easy.
Bravo.
Very good. Dave in Monroe, thank you, buddy. I really appreciate that. Dave in Monroe, Wisconsin, choosing the Eagles. That is the one true thing that I agree with the dude about, the dude Lebowski. Agree with him 100% about that. So, unfortunately, we're going to hear two more Eagles songs because this is a democracy. Eesh, they suck. All right. Hey, it's Nick DiGilio on WGN. We're talking about big box office bombs. You know, Dan, during the break, I looked up a bunch of the 70s disaster movies. That's a topic that I want to talk about, like just specifically the 70s disaster movies, because there are so many of them that are hilarious and awful. And did you look at the posters? Because every poster is exactly the same.
Yep.
It's the best. It's just the best. Peter in Decatur says, I loved Ishtar. Well, that's because you have good taste in film. It's been a long time since I saw Heaven's Gate, but I seem to recall that I liked that. See, Peter knows what's going on in the world. Now he only has to admit that he likes Waterworld. 312, Ishtar was not a good movie at all. All right, take it easy. See? Eagles. 301 area code says, It's a Wonderful Life was a flop in theaters and first and last film made by Liberty Films. You are absolutely correct. It's a Wonderful Life was a massive flop when it came out. And then considered, obviously considered a classic. Citizen Kane, same thing. Citizen Kane didn't make any money when it came out. It was considered a flop. All right, speaking of more flops, 1989, Pink Cadillac, Clint Eastwood, Bernadette Peters, terrible movie. One of my least favorite Clint Eastwood movies, and I love Clint Eastwood. Number 1990, The Bonfire of the Vanities, one of the most notorious flops of all time. Directed by Brian De Palma with a very miscast Tom Hanks. And it was based on Tom Wolfe's acclaimed novel. And You know some of the stories behind the making of that movie, Dan, about Bonfire of the Vanities? I mean, they wrote a book about it. They wrote an entire book about what a disaster that movie was. And I want to say it was called, see if you can look this up. I want to say it was called The Devil's Candy. If I'm not mistaken, I read it, but I read it like, you know, 20 years ago. But I think it was called The Devil's Candy. And it was about the making of Bonfire of the Vanities. One of my favorite little tidbits about all of the insanity that went on during the making of that movie was that there was a break in filming. I guess there was a scheduling mix, and Bruce Willis is in it as well, and Melanie Griffith. And there was a scheduling mishap or something, so they had a few weeks off from shooting. And they had shot, like, I would say they shot, like, more than a third or maybe close to half of the movie was shot already. So Melanie Griffith decided during this time away, you know, this four-week break, she'd go and get a boob job. So she went from, like, I want to say maybe a C to a double D. And so she shows up on the set, and Brian De Palma's like, "What the hell are you doing?" She's like, "Don't you like it?" And he's like, "We shot half the movie, so, like, you have a C cup in half of the movie and a double D in the rest of them. What the hell is wrong with you?" And so that was one of the many things. So if you watch the movie, you can see Melanie Griffith's breasts change sizes. And they tried to reshoot some of it, some of the stuff, you know, with her big, you know, so he had to reshoot a bunch of stuff with the big boobs, but there still are scenes in the movie where she doesn't have the double Ds. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And the movie was a massive flop. Another movie that I don't hate, Bonfire of the Vanities. There are great things in it. Technically, like the opening shot's like a 7-minute crane shot. It's Brian De Palma. So it's like one take, 7-minute crane shot. You know, that's fantastic. But yeah. Let's see. 1992 Hero with Dustin Hoffman was the biggest flop. So, and then we'll get back to it, and we'll talk about some summer box office flops as well. All right, we'll take a break. The news is coming up next. Yeah, that's fantastic. It's a triple play Thursday, unfortunately, and Dave in Monroe, Wisconsin chose the Eagles. That's Desperado. I will say this. It makes me think of a very funny Seinfeld episode. So that's, at least there's that. So. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio for just two more shows after this. Yeah. So I think I want to open up the phone lines and get some suggestions from listeners as what we should do and how we should close out the tower. Because I'm basically shutting down the lights, man.
That's right.
We got to figure out something to do. And something special. I'll probably end up writing something. I don't know. I know that I'll probably have...
like, poetically? Yeah, like Franklin McCormick? Or, yeah, like, on the wall? Like,
Give me a can of spray paint, and I'll just... I'll go nuts on the place. Then and Esmeralda also had the suggestion that they give me a sledgehammer, and I just start knocking down walls.
A sledgehammer and a hard hat.
Right.
Some goggles. Come on.
And just start knocking stuff down.
They're going to do it anyway.
Bust up this whole thing.
Some time.
I could take out my aggravation like it was 2009 in here. How I felt working here in 2009. I'll just think of that. I'll think of that, and that will get me going.
Yeah, so. You have your own rage cage.
That's so. We're talking about big giant movie flops. And here's Trucker Jeff on WGN. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. Hey, do you remember in the 80s, what is it, the movie Maximum Overdrive?
Yes, I remember. It's a terrible movie.
Yeah. Stephen King was on the MTV saying, "This movie will scare the hell out of you." Yeah, there's nothing. What's supposed to be scary, the clown on the truck?
Right. Yeah, no, Maximum Overdrive is an awful movie, and you know, and it was the only movie that Stephen King ever directed. Like, Stephen King directed that movie, and he now admits, like, there's a reason why I've only directed one movie. I've only directed one movie. It was a terrible film. Thanks, Trucker Jeff. Now here's a sad one. 1993, the biggest flop in 1993 was Adam's Family Values.
It's a great movie.
It is a terrific movie. I don't understand. It says the first Addams Family was a huge success, so there had to be a sequel. For the most part, Addams Family Values was enjoyable. Yeah, it was very enjoyable. And even developed into a cult classic. But at the time, the movie made less than half of what its predecessor did. Compared to other films like Mrs. Doubtfire, it's impossible to call this movie a Mrs. Doubtfire. One of the worst movies ever made. 1994, North. What an incredible. You know, you want to have fun? Dan? Everybody? Listening? Esmeralda? Look up Roger Ebert's review of the movie North. It's unbelievable. I mean, it is the worst review, the nastiest. I mean, just the opening. I think the opening line of the review, if you look it up, Dan, see if you can look it up. And I want to say the opening line of the review is pretty. Oh, it is. Oh yeah, okay, it's in here. Roger Ebert said, he wrote, "I hated this movie. Hated this movie. Hated it." And that's just part of the rest of the review is just as scathing. So if you want to have some fun, 1995, Cutthroat Island, the pirate movie with Gina Davis and Matthew Modine. What could go wrong there?
Oh, and I enjoy Gina Davis.
I do too. I love Gina Davis, and I like that movie. My main man, Rennie Harlan, directed it. That's back when they were married, when Rennie Harlan and Gina Davis were married. And the other movie that they made together was a great movie called Long Kiss Goodnight.
Yes.
Isn't that a
good movie?
Oh, it's so good, man. She's phenomenal in that movie. Samuel Jackson. It's a great movie. 1996, Mary Riley, which was like the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde from the housekeeper's perspective. And that was Julia Roberts and John Malkovich. 1997, The Postman. Now, I won't recommend this. I will not defend this Kevin Costner flop. It's horrible. Horrible. Like 3 hours and 15 minutes long, and he directed it and he wrote it. It was unbelievably terrible. Here's another one that I like. 1998, Beloved, based on the Toni Morrison novel with Oprah Winfrey and Danny Glover. I thought that movie was, Jonathan Demme directed. I thought that movie was really great and really, really creepy. 1999, The 13th Warrior with, based on a John McTiernan book. Michael Crichton book, directed by John McTiernan. And it starred Antonio Banderas. That was the biggest flop in 1999. Biggest flop of 2000 was Titan A.E. Fox Animation thought they had a big hit, but they didn't. The next, 2001, was also an animated movie, Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within. That was it? That was one of the movies that was based on, that was one of the first movies based on a video game, if I'm not mistaken. 2002, the Adventures of Pluto Nash. Oh, my God. You know, listen, Eddie Murphy made a lot of bad movies and has made a lot of flops, but the Adventures of Pluto Nash, what's the one where he's like inside, he's shrunk down and inside, where he's like shrunk down and inside, I think, his own body? Like he's a little version of him floating around.
Meet Dave.
Yeah, what's the plot of, do they have some plot? Because that was an unwatchable movie. Meet Dave. Yeah.
A crew of miniature aliens operate a spaceship that has a human form. While trying to save their planet, the aliens encounter a new problem as the ship becomes smitten with an Earth woman.
That movie was terrible. He made a lot of bad... Eddie Murphy has made a lot of bad movies, man. There was a stretch there where it was like, what the hell are you doing? You know, a couple of them made money. Like, those Dr. Doolittle movies were terrible, but they made money. And then he did Daddy Daycare, didn't he, with Jeff Garland?
I believe that. No, you're right, yeah.
Daddy Daycare and Jeff Garland, and I think they did a sequel to that. I think they did a sequel to that, too. 2003, Sinbad, The Legend of the Seven Seas, DreamWorks animated. 2004, The Alamo was the biggest flop. 2005, Stealth. Whatever happened to the dude who was in Stealth? He was supposed to be like, what was his name? Josh Johnson? Johnson Josh?
Josh Lucas.
Josh Lucas. What happened to that guy? Remember, he was supposed to be like the next big
thing?
Yeah,
he did Sweet Home Alabama with
Reese.
With Reese. He did Thunder Road.
Yeah, he was in a bunch.
He's
for a while.
Been in a few things.
For a while, he was like the dude. But yeah, Stealth, terrible. 2006, speaking of disaster movies, the remake of the Poseidon Adventure, Poseidon. Biggest flop of 2006.
Featuring Josh Lucas.
Josh Lucas is in that one, too. And so is, unfortunately, Kurt Russell. And if I remember correctly, Richard Dreyfuss is in that one, too.
You are correct. And former Real World star Jacinda Barrett.
Jeez. 2007, Evan Almighty. That is an awful, awful movie. Steve Carell, the sequel to Bruce Almighty. And they focus on the, you know, because Steve Carell was in Bruce Almighty. And he had that one great scene where Jim Carrey was, like, making his mouth move. And he's going, blah, 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 that whole thing. And they thought, let's do an entire movie based on this character. It was so bad. So bad. 2008. Now, I like this movie. And everybody hates it. Dan, did you see Speed Racer?
I did. I enjoyed it.
I did, too. I thought it was great and colorful and funny and good. The Wachowskis made it. Yeah. And it, boy, did that thing tank. Oh, my God. And I remember, like, after the screening, I saw it at a screening with a bunch of critics afterwards, and I was like, yeah, it was good. Everybody thought I was nuts. I remember everybody was like, what's wrong with you? 2009, Land of the Lost with Will Ferrell. That is unwatchable, that movie. 2010, The Nutcracker in 3D. Let me explain something to you. This movie is genius. It's genius. When it came out, Andrei Konchalovsky directed it. He's this amazing, clearly Russian, amazing Russian director who has made great films. This was the first movie he made in many years. And it's insane. It is insane. I saw it with a Russian. I saw it with my friend Dmitry Samarov. And we went to the Movie Co. It was the first movie I ever saw at the Movie Co. Theater, which is now the Rosemont 18. And we went, and there were two other people in the theater. We had to pick out seats, you know, because you always have to select seats at that theater. And we were like, there were no seats taken when we got there. So we chose a couple seats, and it was the most insane movie I've ever seen. I saw it the night after Thanksgiving in 2010. And we went out of our way to see it because Konchalovsky directed it. But it's got to be seen to be believed because it's an insane movie. Let me just give you the plot here that it says. Nutcracker in 3D is a mess. There are Nazi rats, sharks, a singing Albert Einstein, played by Nathan Lane. John Turturro plays the Rat King in it. L. Fanning? Yeah, L. Fanning. Not Dakota. L. Fanning. And absolutely no ballet. It's not shocking that it couldn't find its audience. It lost $81.9 million. Hey, Dimitri and I paid full price to see it, and I have it on DVD at home. Because it's certifiably insane. This is one of those movies where, as you're watching it, you're like, how in God's name did this get made? This is the most, I mean, it's really seriously one of the craziest, most insane movies I've ever seen. And it just keeps getting weirder as it goes on. It just keeps getting weirder. It's based on the Nutcracker, and there's no ballet in it or anything. It's in 3D. It's absolute, it is a certifiably insane movie. All right. Yeah. Another terrible song by the Eagles. Triple Play Thursday has concluded. Dave in Monroe, Wisconsin. It's the Eagles with One of These Nights. So there you go. All right. We are back, and we've been talking about box office bombs. We're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and then Steve Cochran at 6. And, I'll be joining Steve Cochran and the crew for the weekly Thursday visit at 6:20. Previewing the new movies and talking about some other cool stuff. So that'll be coming up. Big box office bombs. Dan, have I intrigued you to see The Nutcracker in 3D?
I don't know. I'll watch a trailer. How about that?
Okay. 2011, Mars Needs Moms was the biggest bomb of the year. 2012 was John Carter. What's that dude was supposed to be big, too.
Yeah, Taylor Kitsch.
Yeah, what happened to him? Oh, wait, didn't he just play Koresh? He played Koresh, that's right. But I remember when John Carter came out, they were like, and what was it? Was he in a G.I. Joe? Was he in one of the G.I. something like a G.I. Joe?
Battleship.
Movie? That's what it was, Battleship. Liam Neeson lost a bet on that one. I mean, that's the only explanation for him being in that movie. And have you seen the trailer for the new Purge movie? I can't believe those movies make money.
No, I have not.
It's called The First Purge.
Okay.
And it comes out on July. And Marisa Tomei is in it. I was like, come on, man. Maybe she needs a payment on the house. That's the only thing I can it's the only thing I can think of. What are you doing? 2013, the biggest flop was 47 Ronin with Keanu Reeves. I actually like that movie, but it lost $175 million. 2014, The Legend of Oz, Dorothy's Return. I didn't see that one. 2015, Pan. Oh, the Peter Pan with Hugh Jackman. That was a terrible movie. Lost $150 million for Warner Brothers. 2016, this was a good idea to remake Ben-Hur. That was a smart move.
Yeah.
It's a smart move.
Not a classic.
Yeah. And then last year, 2017, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. It earned $15 million, and it cost $150, and it lost over $200 million, and that was the Guy Ritchie version. Here are some other summer flops. Super Mario Brothers. Can you believe that flopped, Dan?
I can't believe it.
It was a summer flop in 1993. Again, Bob Hoskins, what do you do? And Leguizamo, why? You know, because when I think Italian plumber, I think Bob Hoskins. That's the first guy.
First thing I thought of.
2000, Battlefield Earth, one of the biggest summer flops of all time. Have you ever seen that movie, Dan?
No, just bits and pieces of it.
Oh my god. Oh, is it bad? Oh, it's so bad. And again, some good actors in it. Barry Pepper's in that movie, and Forrest Whitaker's in that movie. Gerault is a good actor, but. And that was his passion project. Let's see. Cowboys and Aliens. That movie stunk.
I remember there was so much excitement about it. Like, Snakes on the Plains. Like, Cowboys versus Aliens. I mean, what could go wrong?
It was so bad. It was so bad. Favreau directed that movie. And, you know, Daniel Craig. I can't remember who else was in it, but that
wasn't Harrison Ford
in Harrison Ford. Yeah, Harrison Ford was in it. Actually, Harrison Ford was the best part of the movie. Harrison Ford seemed to be the only person in the movie that was having fun, and Harrison Ford doesn't like fun. The Lone Ranger was mentioned earlier. R.I.P.D. This makes me sad because it's Jeff Bridges, but it was basically Men in Black, and it was Jeff Bridges and Ryan Reynolds. The total Men in Black takeoff. The 2015 version of Fantastic Four, with Miles Teller. That was a. Did you see that, Dan?
I did see that.
Oh my god, it was so bad. Michael B. Jordan was in it.
Michael B. Jordan.
Well, he's
one of the Mara sisters.
Yeah, that was a. It was so bad. There's never been
Billy
a good.
Elliot.
There's never been. Yeah, that's right. There's never been a good Fantastic
There's
Four.
Never been a good Fantastic Four.
There's only been bad ones and some really bad. Yeah, those were. That was a. Why the hell did they make that? Was there a contract involved?
I think they were hoping for the because that was a Sony, the part of the, you know,
right.
So Sony was trying to get on that train, you know.
It was so bad, man. From last year, The Mummy. Poor Tom Cruise. It'll be interesting to see because his last few movies have not, you know, I think people are just over it. And I don't agree with that because I love Tom Cruise and I think he's great. He may be crazy in real life, but he makes good movies, and I like him. The Mummy wasn't a good movie. Let me just preface this by saying The Mummy was not a good movie. But he's made some really good movies that have not made money. And I'm really curious to see how this Mission Impossible movie does. Because all of the Mission Impossible movies have made money.
Right.
You know? And this is the sixth one. They've all made money. And here's another thing. They're all good, which is... That doesn't happen very often. You make six movies in a series and they're all good. The weakest one was here's the weird thing. The weakest one of the six was directed by John Woo, which is insane because John Woo is like one of the greatest directors of all time. But I'm very curious to see what happens. I mean, the trailer for the new Mission Impossible movie looks fantastic,
right?
But I'd be curious. It comes out July 27th is when it comes out. But yeah, the trailer looks great, and those are, you know, and again, he busted his foot, he fell off a helicopter, you know what I mean, because he's nuts.
Right, he's climbing skyscrapers like a raccoon.
He's like a raccoon, that's right, he's climbing skyscrapers like a raccoon. They should get that raccoon to be his partner in the next Mission Impossible movie. They can go on crazy adventures together. Tom and the Raccoon, they can call it Tom and the Raccoon. All right. Well, there you go. There are some big-time movie flops that we all have fun talking about. We're going to take a break. Tomorrow, Herb Weisbaum is going to join us. He's our consumer guy. That'll be happening tomorrow along with all the other Friday features. The news is coming up after this.